Hey, and welcome to Gridiron Japan. Today we have a X-League preview show for the upcoming Rice Bowl. So sitting here with Aaron Ellis and with BJ Beatty, and we are going to talk football. We got a whole bunch of stuff that's on the plate today, including not only talking about Aaron and his MVP nod here with the X-League, but in addition, talking the preview of the upcoming Rice Bowl, we'll also talk coaching bowl and anything else that comes to mind as we welcome Aaron in. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, sir?
Good, buddy. And BJ, what's up, man?
Good, good. How you been? Been a while since we've done a show, huh? What, two,
yeah.
3 weeks?
Yeah, something like that. A lot's happened with me. Finally moved into a house and sitting here in my office. And it's nice to actually have bedrooms and you know, everything that goes along with having a house again.
Not being stuck in a little 2x2 hotel room anymore.
Dude, that was brutal. And you know what? My wife and I, we literally spent 6 weeks being homeless across 4 countries. And I include Quebec as a separate country. But now it's just the adjusting part, just the life in general. Just a new, it's a new battle rhythm, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've done a lot of traveling in the last, 6 weeks, right?
Yeah. And you know what? It's been great. We got here, you know, my in-laws have been great. My brother-in-law has been fantastic. He's my new football buddy here down here because he's, we're sitting down. I was telling about our podcast here and he's like, oh, I know football. I go, how do you know about football? He goes, video games. So, Yeah, so no, it's been good. It's been good. And Aaron, hey, how cold is it back home?
Yeah, it's getting down there. It was -9 wind chill a couple days ago. And it's holding strong. But and we got all the cars with push to start, so good to go.
So you're in Northwest Indiana too, so you're right in that snow belt.
Yeah, terrible place to be.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's funny, we'll talk about that later, but I've been practicing with Fujitsu for the Dream Bowl. And I would say it's sunny, right? So, but it's probably like down in the 30s and things like that. And at Colorado, our rule as linebackers was no matter how cold it got, we were never allowed to wear long sleeves. So like, I've kind of always carried that, you know, idea with me, right? And like, I'm probably one of maybe like 3 players that go out there and that have no sleeves on. And like all the players are like, BJ, you're not cold. And I'm like, this ain't cold. 30s, nah. If it's still in the 30s,
30s ain't cold.
Yeah. I think we played my sophomore year, we played Nebraska at kickoff. It was -15.
Damn.
And all the linebackers were out there with no sleeves.
Right. Well, once you get going on the field and once you start, everything starts pumping.
No, it don't matter. When it's that cold, it hurts.
I know. Yeah, I know.
And the whole time, I remember we were talking, and just the whole time, I'm like, offense, either score very fast or go 3 and out.
And back when you played, was that on the turf or was that actual field turf?
No, Colorado, we've always been natural grass.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I was thinking you were at Nebraska for that game.
Oh, no. Oh, I mean, it gets cold at Nebraska and they have turf, but no, that game specifically, luckily we were in Boulder. So,
yeah. After a certain point, man, you're right though. It just, it's effing cold. And it's like, forget it. Yeah.
Feels like your body shatters every time you hit it.
Yeah. Well, Lombardi had a great quote after the Ice Bowl. He's like, let's do it. And let's get the hell out of here. Just, it was so cold. So Aaron, real quickly here. So when did you find out about the being nominated MVP for your play this year for area? Did that come with a phone call, a text, or?
Yeah, I got a text from our one of our board members congratulating me and telling me, hey, they're not announcing this for like 14 more days, so don't say anything. And I'm like, well, why are you telling me so early? Because that's a hard news to like not want to share with my people for 14 days. But you had me like fill out like, you know, what I wanted to say about the award and all that, and then my head coach Coach Takumi is going to send the award to my address in the States, so that's nice of them.
Awesome. And I'm sure, I know your parents are very proud.
Yeah, they were definitely excited to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. You deserved it, man. I mean, you played very well this season, right? You, outside of your guys' one draw, right? You guys pretty much ran through everybody. And I mean, you took Dentsu, and how we had talked about, right? Last year, Dentsu was one game away from playing in the Super this past season, where now you took that step and you brought them. And then you beat, you know, the Lions, who for a while have always been, you know, here in the Super, or back when the X League was. They weren't one of the top teams, but they were a very competitive team, and you guys beat them pretty easily. So, I mean, you deserved it, man. You played well and you led well, and, you know, congrats.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Coming from you.
You still owe me touchdowns, though. I don't know.
Hey, man, not a whole lot I can do if I get pulled in the third quarter. but, man, it was it was definitely an amazing honor to receive. That wasn't really what I was thinking, or I didn't even know that they did those type of awards until like a third into the season. But I mean, the most important one was us winning that promotion, like you said, because I think the last time Dentsu got to play the Lions, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and the Lions like smacked them, or if I remember correctly. So for us to be able to go out there and, not just beat them, but I mean, we dominated the game. We were in control of the game the whole time. And to do that, you know, the confidence the guy showed, it gives me good hope for next year that, you know, we'll be able to compete with some of the teams and maybe pull off a couple surprises, or, you know, because the biggest thing you see, I think, in the Super is a lot of the bottom tier teams, sometimes they just don't play confident, like you've said before, BJ. Mm-hmm. Like they're starstruck or scared or whatever it may be.
But. Yeah, and they chalk it up, right? Like, oh, we're playing Fujitsu. Well, we're gonna let this one go, right?
Or
we're playing Panasonic. Well, we gotta chalk this one as a loss, you know. And that is a bad mindset. And I mean, sometimes it starts from the top down. You know, I've heard from other teams where like teams will look at their schedules and they'll be like, okay, we're going to lose this one, and this one. So we got to win this one, and this one. So in their heads already, they're just looking at their season where, oh, we're going to be something, something in three at the worst. So, yeah, I mean, you guys, you know, prepared well and things like that. And it showed, absolutely. Right? Like you guys pretty much, you know, when you wanted to, and, you know, like, I think there's one play in particular. I want to say it was in the second quarter. I think it was like, what, third and one? Third and two, and you hand the ball off, and your running back actually got stuffed. And then all of a sudden, like, and I don't know if your coach yelled at you or not, but that was the first time I've ever seen a quarterback come and kind of run in like that and just trying to drag the pile in a long time.
No, man, it was just instinctively. Yeah, we needed that first pile down. That was a big drive. Big drive
and
for
I
us.
Mean, yeah, it was kind of like a morale killer, right, for the Lions. Because, I mean, you see the guys kind of like, damn, they just pushed us back for 2 yards, you know, and it kind of, for the rest of the game, it kind of showed.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of that fed into the guys' mentality of, we came into the game like, hey, man, let's go have fun, dude. Let's go play football. Mm-hmm. Let's go. I'm not worried about the win or loss right now. I'm worried about just giving it everything we got and not worrying about who we're up against. So, like, when that happened, they stuffed us right there. I mean, all you saw was all of our guys in the box grab our running back and just start pushing. And we pushed for, like, an extra 8 yards.
And
like you said, I think right then and there it was like, okay, we want this more. We're going to win this football game. Yeah. And, you know, the guys just did an absolutely phenomenal job. I mean, we had 4 takeaways on defense. And then offensively, I'm pretty sure we got points on 3 of those takeaways.
Yep.
Yeah, 3 of those takeaways, which was huge. Because, I mean, that's the name of the game. It seems like the next one's Super 2, right? You know, you see teams get those turnovers, but then they don't get points off them. And then, you know, then they stall out. But, you know, for us getting those points, it gave us a lot of momentum. Gave the guys a big confidence booster. Because I think, you know, going into the game, this is going to be the first time we played against an American QB. Mm-hmm. And I know some of our guys were like, oh, man, I don't know. But, like, they've been practicing against me all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've helped each other, because my secondary is the best secondary in X1 area too. They have the mm-hmm. most interceptions, and so they get me a couple times in practice. I get them a few times in practice, and I think we've really fed off each other all year to where it helped us prepare for this game, and mm-hmm. it definitely showed. I mean, those two picks were phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, right, the saying, right, iron sharpens iron. So
yeah,
if you guys compete right against each other at the highest levels at practice that you can, right, then the game, in a sense, you should have the confidence that the game will be easy. You know, and I think probably for you guys, right, you guys, I mean, you know, you're not as mobile as John Gibbs is, right? Yeah. But that probably was the only thing that they probably couldn't, you know, but you guys did a good job of containing him. And, yeah, I mean, your guys DBs, right, they got him a few times and things like that. So, and especially the turnovers become big in the X League in general, because you're only playing 12-minute quarters.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, you're, time of possessions and how many possessions you get really come into play, because in the overall scheme of it, if you look at it, right, you're losing 3 minutes from each quarter, which would normally play 15 minutes, right? You yeah. lose pretty much a whole quarter
mm-hmm.
if the way the X League. So yeah, like those possessions come in big time, especially if you can't. And yeah, they kind of go to waste if you can't get points out of them. But
absolutely.
Yeah, man. I mean, congrats. You know, I look forward to watching you guys in the Super next year. I don't know how your team feels, but I kind of wanted to see that Suns and Dentsu rematch.
I mean, I hope to get to play them. The only disappointing thing about this season, the only thing, is that I won't get to get my rematch against Penta Ocean. That's the only thing that I'm bummed about, because I wanted that game back bad. I think
you'll play more competitive teams, and you know, hopefully the Pirates will come up one day and we'll see.
Yeah, true. Very true.
You'll be way more prepared for them when that comes.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
And with the MVP comes I wouldn't say it comes any more in your paycheck, but it's, you know, more visibility. Have you heard much on this? I was gonna say on this side of the world. You're over on the world side of the world I used to be. Yeah. But have you gotten any calls from anybody?
I mean, it you know, winning something like that in a more well-known in the alternative football universe league, right, like the X League, you know, it definitely helps a lot.
Okay.
You know, I'm pretty sure all the coaches in the X League now know who I am. And then on top of that, you know, we're working on getting a couple private workouts set up for some XFL and USFL. Cool. player personnel.
Cool.
I got two at the end of January. So, you know, I mean, okay. That's been always been the biggest thing, is I've never really been given a chance to show what I can do to right. higher level player personnel like that. So, you know, finally earning the ability just to like go out on a field and throw for these guys is, you know, something I'm very happy and excited about, because at the end of the day, you know, if they say I'm not good enough, and that's okay. But I just want that opportunity, because I think I have a lot of arm talent. I think I have a lot to bring to a team. And I think I'm the kind of guy that can go into any team and uplift them in some way and make them better than they were when I got there. You know, that's how I believe in myself and what I can bring. So, you know, I'm going to give it my best, and hopefully I get a shot at, you know, playing in the States. That'd be great.
Yeah. And until then, you're headed over to Europe here pretty soon, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Going back to the Telf Patriots, my team in Austria. I was leaning towards making the transition to playing arena in the spring. You know, just so I'm in the States to where I could get picked up easier, right, you know, by a XFL or USFL team if it came up. But you know, last year when we made the semifinals with the Patriots, this year technically, I got COVID that week of the semifinal game, and I got cleared the day before. So I was like extremely weak, and we lost to a team that we could have beat and made the championship mm-hmm. game. So I feel like there's just unfinished business there, and there's mm-hmm. I have really great teammates and family there, and there's a great new head coach they just signed. So I'm going to go, you know, one last season there and try to finish that thing with a championship, and then hopefully be back in Japan in the summer and then just keep working and see where it goes from there.
I hope so. In terms of visibility, with you playing in Austria, how are we going to be able to see your games? Are they going to be on YouTube? I mean,
almost every game streamed on YouTube.
Okay.
It depends whose home game. I know it kind of sucks, but we were the only team in the AFL last year that didn't stream their home games.
Okay.
It was their first year in the Austrian Football League, and their idea was they wanted to go big or nothing, and they couldn't go big right away. But I'm going to make sure we have something, because our home game atmosphere is a lot of fun. So I'd like us to be able to stream those.
Yeah, no, I'd like to, because, I mean, obviously, I'm thinking here, I got the website up. It's like, hey, what content can we put up on the Gridiron Japan website during the spring? And your games are like right at the very top of my list. So
That'd be cool. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, in terms of the talent, so with Austria compared to Japan, what is the talent level that you're going to have surrounding you in Austria? How does it compare?
Well,
same quality?
It doesn't compare. And, you know, from the local guy's standpoint, it's not the same. You know, I love my guys in Austria, and we actually, our offense is going to be more talented than it was last year, which is great, because we got some more local talent coming in. But I think, you know, it's just the work ethic that Japanese players have. It's like I've said it before, and I'll stand by this statement. It's you can't find that outside of Japan.
Right.
Like, the closest place you can find that is America, obviously, because, you know, you get the best players in the world from America. But, you know, in Europe, it's still, you know, if it's not the ELF, then it's still kind of like, you know, these guys are doing it because they love to do it, not because, like, this is like their life. They don't grind it every day like I do. You know,
more of
a
hobby.
Yeah.
Hobby than like a
Exactly. Yeah. But I think our team's going to be really talented still. I think we're going to be more talented than we were last year, like I said. And I think we're going to be able to do a lot more things than last year. And our offense is going to be much more creative. We got some tricks planned up our sleeves to go fast and still confuse defenses. One thing I do like, though, about playing in Europe is I get a lot more say and input on the offense and the playbook and the play calls and all that. I mean, and in Japan, you know, Coach Gensan, he as the season went on, he gave me a lot more freedom, and him and I worked really well together. But there was always still that, you know, the barrier of figuring out what is good for the offense and what isn't, you know, whereas in Austria, man, we'll install, you know, five more formations and five more plays and any given week to mess with a defense, because we can do it and it's fun. But we'll have more time to practice too, which will probably be meaning that we'll be more, you know, just more fluid. Whereas Dentsu, you know, we got that one day practice a week, to where you can't install as much. But I mean, I'm excited for it. I think it'll be a good year. I think it'll be good football to watch. If you guys can watch a couple games, I think you would enjoy watching what we put on the field.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely be watching. And in terms of, I mean, you're going to Austria, so I mean, obviously, just being in Europe. And what's the town like that you're going to?
Tells. I mean, it's
no probably... town. No town wise. Where you're gonna be living at?
Yeah, Tells.
Tells. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's probably the most beautiful place I've ever been in the world. I mean, it's right in the Swiss Alps, right in the bowl. So you're surrounded by the mountains, and it's,
oh, wow.
The air is high quality, you know, water, you can drink any water from anywhere. Like, it's, people are happy, you know, they're friendly, always like smiling, cause they live in a beautiful place. I'm not used to that in the Midwest, the armpit of America, you know, everyone's just miserable and sad and angry. So
yeah, that's the reason why I left, man. That's
but yeah, it tells us a beautiful place, and I love being there. That's part of, that's also another reason why I went back for another year, because I found a lot about myself there, and, you know, kind of, you know, on a spiritual journey of figuring out who I am outside of football and all those different things.
You're going from like the two ends of the spectrum. You're going to living in the Swiss Alps to living here in the metro of Tokyo.
Tokyo, yeah, the biggest city in the world.
Yeah. It's like the two ends of the spectrum right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now he's in Chicago, you know, dealing with all the crap that is the Chicago weather right now.
Yeah. I love it here, but I hate it here at the same time.
Yeah.
It's one of those ultimate love-hate relationships.
Yeah. That's why, I'm very blessed. Like that. I always laugh, right? When the season was done for me and it's getting cold in winter here, I just head back to Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's never cold. 68 degrees, everybody's freezing their butts off. But me, I'm just like, I'm still walking around in a tank top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
When I'm home, it's lucky you even catch me with the shirt on. It's too hot. It's way too hot. It's too hot and humid in Hawaii some days.
Well, it's going to be 50 there? Is it today or tomorrow? I saw the weather report from back home. It's going to be like flip-flop weather back in Chicago. It's going to hit 50.
Yeah, oh yeah, it
and it's gonna drop again.
It always does that. Yeah. But yeah, man, this whole year actually is gonna be one thing I'm always gonna remember, especially that season in Japan. You know, first ever NAI quarterback to get to play in the X League, and I think I also got lucky with the team I got put with. You know, because there's just great people. You know, the coaching staff was great. There was really no egos at all. Everyone just wanted to get better and everyone wanted the team to succeed. And you saw that as the season went on, that we just adapted to how we had to adapt and did what we had to do to win. And I think we got a lot of talented guys on our team, man. A lot of older and younger guys that just played well together. And I think everyone's going to be a little surprised what they can do next year. And hopefully I'm with them. And, you know, we're working on that for get me back. But I think there's going to be a couple surprises from Dentsu for sure.
Cool.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming to your games in person this next year.
Oh, so. Yeah, that'd be great. You're the last one I haven't actually met in person yet. We missed it the last.
Literally at the last, like in the, yeah. the last, you were coming as a. You were going as I was coming in.
Yeah, bad timing.
And Well, hopefully it'll happen. Hopefully you'll be finding out sooner rather than later. Yeah. And at least that way you can make your weekend travel, you know, for your time off. How much of Japan have you seen besides the practice field?
Not a lot. It was a very busy 3.5 months. Very busy. I didn't get to do much. You know, I went to the basic touristy places like Shibuya and
Well, you got to experience that. I mean, when you first come here, right? Because Shibuya is just like like here now, like for me, Shibuya is just like Shibuya. Huh?
Yeah.
But like when you first come here, I mean, it's like it's insane to see, right?
It was really cool. It was definitely really cool.
And I mean,
cool, man.
The sad part is probably Japan being the way it is still with COVID, right? What your Shibuya you probably experienced and the Shibuya I first time experienced. Like the first time I experienced Shibuya and crossed it, like I was insane. It was insane. There had to be at least like 7,000 people crossing. Once the light went green, like the street disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like, you know, but now, you know, it's still, you know, people are still kind of, I don't know. I don't think it ever recovered. Like my first year Halloween in Shibuya. So that whole entire intersection, like all four ways were just people all on the streets. Like you couldn't see the road anymore. And
it was a cool place, man, for sure. I definitely Shibuya's enjoyed
interesting,
it.
Especially coming from like a small town, right? Midwest.
Oh, 100%.
Then you go to like right Harajuku and you see all the crazy fashion and then like that's the one thing like you probably blew your mind, right? Like you come to Tokyo, you go like from Harajuku or Shibuya, you go like 10-20 minutes down the road in a train and you're in like a quiet, like there's like temples and there could be like you'll be like in a whole nother world, but you're still in Tokyo.
Yeah, 100%. Like I think it really sunk in when I left because I flew out at night.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love flying into like Chicago and New York at night because the city's just gorgeous, but like the Tokyo city was like never ending, almost like five times the size of Chicago.
Were you ever able to go up to the Skytree tower at night?
Nah, not yet. Nope.
When you get back at nighttime, go up that. Yeah. At night, that's insane. Because you can see that. Like 360 of the whole thing. So, yeah, Tokyo is insane to see at night. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you can come back. And I mean, Japan is, yeah, man. And well, now you know, right? So I would say, man, just go take a bullet train or take a bus or wherever and wander, man. Just go.
Yeah, just pick a spot on the map.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be more comfortable sure.
My first year, what I did my first year was I actually had like the train map. And I would like put a thing on like, boom, like I haven't been to this station. And I'll like just go to that station. And I'm like, oh, I haven't been to this station. And like, then as like my years progressed, like I started getting outside of Tokyo and going to like off into the woods and
so down my way basically.
Yeah, or actually I went the other way. I went like Nagano.
I went
up into Nagano and stuff. So I mean, yeah, like, and that's probably, I mean, Nagano is like where they say it's kind of like the Alps of Japan.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, it's up in the Japan Alps.
You'd enjoy it out there too, I bet. Yeah. Aaron, you can go snowboard out there
for sure. I'll definitely put that on the list.
Yeah,
and even down by here and over by Shikoku, I mean, you guys probably saw the pictures my wife posted the other day. We were up, you know, I mean, literally one train stop down. I mean, we were in a completely different world on the inland sea. And just that moment of zen, just sitting there going, okay, yeah, you know, I mean, I lived in the Midwest my entire life, and you're looking out like, oh, and I'm only 10 miles from this place. It's kind of nice. There's so much to see. Yeah,
I'm busy you in the summertime so I can go swim. I need to get in the ocean. That's the one thing I hate about winter is I can't go swimming in the ocean.
Well, does Shikoku, I mean, I haven't looked, but has Shikoku got beaches and everything down there? I would assume.
Oh, yeah,
so,
all that side area. Well, down that way, there's a lot of great beaches.
Yeah, I would assume so. So, all right, changing topics here. Let's talk about the Koshin Bowl. Did you guys, Aaron, were you able to watch any of the Koshin Bowl over there?
I was not, but I was following updates, and the team I wanted to win didn't win. But
Same here.
But from what I was told, the score didn't necessarily reflect how competitive of a game it was.
Well, it was a tale of two games. Now, having been there, it was interesting. I tell you, for me, it was the first time I've ever. It's been a while since I've been to a college football game, but there were a lot of firsts for me. First time I ever saw a football game in a baseball park, which was very old school, dude. It was like being at Wrigley for a game.
Yeah. And what's crazy was this year they actually covered the infield, right?
Yeah,
like there was grass, right?
Yeah.
So before they used to not do that.
Really? I can't even imagine getting tackled on those cinders, man.
Yeah.
No, before I think last year I think there was grass on the infield, but then the other pictures I've seen, grass.
Yeah, there hasn't been. Yeah. Some years they haven't covered it and they just go ahead, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was as old school as it came. Even to the point, we got there about a half hour before kickoff. So, you know, there's a line to get in, you know, the way the stadium's lined, it's a baseball park. You've got different gates and everything.
Gates all over the place.
But the one thing that was missing, there was nobody selling souvenirs or anything.
There probably was, but there's only one booth and there were probably like Waseda, right? Probably where their alumni or theirs, So there usually is, but it's like one little booth, like just randomly somewhere.
Yeah.
You probably were expecting it to be all over the place.
Well, last time I went to a stadium was back over the summer when it was Robin Yount jersey giveaway up at the baseball stadium up in Milwaukee. So that's, you know, again, I kind of knew that going in, but it was just sitting there, just sitting, kind of watching the crowd. Mm-hmm. And it had such a great old school feel. And nobody everybody was silent during the game. Everybody was like quiet, and except for the two guys that were yakking, that were like, I think they were getting drunk behind us. But other than that, I'm like, this is kind of, it's kind of nice. And, but the seats were, you know, the way, even my brother-in-law said, man, these seats are way too small. So
yeah, but
we were crammed in the box seats over in the first base side. So we had good, decent seats and everything. But it was a tale of two games. So I was rooting for Waseda. My wife and her brother were rooting for KG. And, you know, the first half, it was pretty competitive. But second half, KG just kind of rolled all over him.
Yeah. I mean, I only caught highlights. But I've played KG before. I've watched them before. And it's funny. Was that the first time you've ever seen them?
Yeah, in person.
So that's exactly when you play them, that's actually how you have to plan for them. So the first half, what you get the first half, you're not going to get the second half. They have a first half game plan, and they got a whole bunch of stuff coming at you for the second half.
Which was very noticeable. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why a lot of teams, when they play KG, you have to be almost, especially on the defensive end, you have to be, you have to have like two game plans. And it's kind of hard to know what that second half is going to be because you don't know what they're going to throw. They're going to throw shovel passes. They're going to throw quick screens. They're going to do, you know, trick plays and all these things left and right. So playing KG, the hardest thing about them is that. And then they're very, I'm sure you saw this live, but they're very good at executing. They have probably there probably was very few miscues on their side of the ball, right? Like any kind of trick play they ran, like the efficiency is unreal with them. And I mean, but it goes to show, right? They ran off. That's their fifth championship in a row. You know?
And,
I mean, I think my brother was the last one to beat them. And like, I kind of always laugh because I'm like, had he not beat them and his senior year, like, I think they'd be on like a 10, like a 10 year run right now, like something crazy like that. They'd be like 10 championships in a row. I think they went like four, they lost, and then they went five in a row right now. Like,
it's, I mean, it's absolutely incredible what they're, what they've been able to do. It's the same type of success Fujitsu has had in the last, you know? I mean, it, and it comes down to what is the biggest difference maker? Is it the quality of coaching that their team has, or
they're so, from what I know, like, they're inside. So they had – when did that coach take over? So up until, like, 3-4 years ago, they had a coach who was there for just, like, how would you compare him? He was, like, Joe Paterno. Like, he had been there forever. I'm sure you've probably – he has a very distinctive mustache. But
respect.
Yeah, so he was just like he just built a system. And I mean, like, these kids would just come in and the coaches would know the system so well. So yeah, I mean, you just had, for me, it was so long they had the same coaches. And even so the head coach that took over, he was kind of always just the OC.
Yeah.
So it's like when he, you know, when the head coach left and that this guy became the head coach, it literally was just like, you know, you weren't replacing much, you know, your leadership, the leadership was all the same. The things they all talk about are the same. So that's kind of where, you know, the biggest thing has been just the consistency of what the school is about, what the team is about, their beliefs, and just how they run the organization.
Yeah.
Where, so it's like all these kids, right? They, and then there's a high school team that runs into them. So it all kind of trickles down, right? So all these kids that go from the high school into the college, they're just like, oh, this is the same thing we've been doing since whenever, you know? And then obviously, right, like you talk about with Fujitsu and stuff like that, when you have all these years, like if you think about it, these seniors who just finished, they never lost a game outside of losing in the Rice Bowl.
That's they've crazy.
Never lost. They've never lost in to another college team. So all they know is winning,
right?
You know, and all they know is preparing to win and just, you know, and I think it kind of shows, right? Like Waseda hasn't been there for a couple years into the coaching bowl. And then they get back into that game when, you know, they kind of, you know, they probably might have tensed up a little bit at some point and things like that, where KG's like, oh, this is just another game for us. You know, so those are kind of the big differences, right? When, you know, you talk about Fujitsu, yeah, I know we'll talk about that in a little bit, where they're playing in the Rice Bowl, or formerly they used to be the GXB. This is their 10th one in a row. So, like I was joking, like Tokyo Dome might as well be their home stadium as well, too.
Yeah.
Like Kawasaki Field is their home stadium, and the Tokyo Dome might as well be their home stadium as well. So, yeah, well, KG is a factory.
Yeah. And Waseda, I mean, they're no slouch either, but
no.
They're, you know, if KG is Alabama, then I would say Waseda is more like Clemson, maybe Florida State.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, a lesser tier school. I mean, no slouch in their own right, but
no. Yeah. Waseda. And what was interesting too, defensively, I saw Waseda played I want to say it was either a 4-7 or they had no linebackers on their starting lineup. So I think they either went out with like a 4-7, 4-0-7 or like a 5-0-6 like defense. So, which is against everything they had done up until that point, because when they played us, they only played two D linemen.
Right.
They played like a 2-4-5 against us. And we're a wing, you know, at Tokyo, we're a wing triple option, you know, Navy Army style offense.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of interesting when I saw that, you know, the starting lineups, and I saw how many D linemen they're playing and how many DBs they're playing. And I was like, well, they know they need to play a little bit different, but maybe that kind of, they got them out of their comfort zone a little bit, because up until everything, they've always been playing pretty much two, sometimes three D linemen down. So that was kind of an interesting thing. And I mean, I don't know, like I haven't been able to watch the game in its entirety. I've only seen the highlights. So.
Well, you pretty much nailed it. Yeah. I mean, it was just a tale of two halves, and you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it was competitive up to that point. You're like, okay, mm-hmm. yeah, no, this is pretty much over, you know? But you know, talking about competitive games. So since we're in the bowl season, mm-hmm. did either one of you get to watch the Christmas Bowl? The high school national championship.
Yes,
that was a good game.
That was a great game.
So we had the Dyson University High School versus the Kosei Gakuin High School. Which I've yet to put up on the YouTube page, but mm-hmm. it's, if you can find it, I'm gonna post a link to it too. I just haven't had a chance. Just really haven't had a chance. But that was a great game.
Yeah, was it? For you, was it shocking to see like the level of high school players? Like, because right, like a lot of kids don't start, you probably know a lot of kids don't start till college, but to see that high school, those high schools and the level that they were playing at, Greg, did it kind of catch you like, wow, these kids?
It did catch me off guard.
Yeah.
I'm like, I mean, having watched enough high school football over the years back home, these kids are far and above, at least to me, like these kids are more polished than anybody I've seen during a state championship game back in Illinois.
And here's something that'll even blow your mind more. During the week, there is zero coaches at practice.
Right.
So these kids I think they usually take Monday off.
Yeah.
But like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, their practices are completely player ran.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's awesome. I think
so. Sandai Koko, which was the one that kind of, so they're the Fighting Angels, right? They mock Notre Dame.
Oh no, I was like, I was watching, I was because you know, I couldn't understand any English except every now and then when they would talk about those green jerseys.
Yeah.
And so
like, they've even done the what was it? Notre Dame had the navy, and then they had like the split helmet, like the gold and the navy helmet. That high school even has that jersey.
Yeah. It was like watching in this game. It was like watching my high school. Cause I went to, you know, Aaron, you probably have heard of him, Bishop McNamara High School in Kankakee, Fighting Irish, same exact uniforms that they're the team's wearing now. And I'm like, okay. All right. Yeah. And Yeah, it was it was a great game. And where did they play the game? I really didn't quite.
So that was in OG. So that was in Kobe.
Okay.
Yeah. And what's funny, you brought the Christmas Bowl up, right? The head coach at University of Tokyo, Mori-san, he's actually trying to him and along with some other coaches, they're actually trying to get that game, the Christmas Bowl, to be played before the Rice Bowl. So that'd it would be awesome. Like the high school championship game would be played. And then right after that, the X League championship game would be played. Like all on the same day.
Wow.
So you'd have two games on January 3rd, which, you know, I mean, for the high school kids. So this year we had, I think it had been like 20, 30 years, they said, since like it was a college versus college kids play in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a lot of those kids, right, they were kind of like, like Tokyo Dome, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great experience for them, right? So it was cool to have that. And, like, I'm glad to hear that the Christmas Bowl, the high school championship, could possibly be played in the Tokyo Dome as well, because I think that'd be a great atmosphere for the kids. I think it'd be great to get them in the Tokyo Dome to play.
Right.
To get more fans in there. And then, you know what I mean? And you could kind of just, hey, Rice Bowl's next, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and it comes down to growing, and it's great exposure, yeah. But it comes down to another way of growing the sport. Cause you just saw from, you know, watching this, it wasn't so much what I was seeing on the field, but also what I was seeing in the stands, the level of support of the parents.
Oh, yeah.
Just huge.
Yeah.
Huge. So, yeah, no, that would be an awesome idea.
You probably have, Aaron, you probably have a teammate or two that's from the from Sandai Koko, which is actually high school, which is actually in Osaka. I'm sure there's at least three or four guys on your team that are from that high school.
Yeah, I'm sure there's got to be.
Yeah. So, and it's crazy. So one of my former teammates, and he actually coaches for that high school. And this is the only place I've ever seen anything like this. So one of my former teammates, Nori Kinoshita, he made the practice squad for the Falcons way back in the day. And when you actually walk into that high school, like that main entrance of the high school, the first like wall on the right, he actually has a glass plaque in there, like with his pictures and all his like his high school uniform and a Falcons jersey in there. And his is the only one on the right. And then there's like all these baseball players on the left. So it's like when you walk right in, like, you know, it's like, boom, football. You know, so it's pretty cool. And it was pretty, it was a great game, right?
Yeah.
Kind of came down to the wire.
Yeah.
In there.
Well, because you would have
loved it, Aaron, because they were what? They were bombing the ball. They were throwing like 50 bombs down.
That's what I like to hear.
Well, at first
these
there was
high school kids.
The game first started out, it was run heavy, but then that quickly changed. Yeah. And then they were just tossing everything left it. But you know what? They came down really to the last minutes, by a field goal and you know,
that was a long field goal too. It was like a 36, 38 yarder. This kid
kicked
down the middle.
And it was KG. They won the game, you know.
Yeah.
So it was
Jose Lotus.
Yeah. And the Lotus won the game, but it could have easily gone the other way. But you know, it was nice on, you know, because being a Christmas day, and it was my first Christmas, obviously, you know, outside of the States, it was nice to be able to tune into a Christmas game, a Christmas football game. Like, okay, this is the way this is how I've always wanted my Christmas day to go, to have a championship game on the line. So it was cool. So speaking of championship games, let's talk main Rice event. Bowl, man. Yeah.
The main event, man.
So I'm going to let you guys, we'll do our picks. You know, we haven't really done our picks yet. And I know John, I'm sure John will want to chime in at some point to post something. Who you got?
The BJ, hardest got? Prediction I've ever had to make, I think. Dude, I mean, watching these two teams play all year long, and then they both got to play OBIC, so you kind of got a little bit of a gauge from that game. Not, you know, because it was different game plans, but still, you can kind of still see how they play But in my personal opinion, these are the two best football teams outside of North America.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of the USA and the Canada, you will not find two better football teams than these two right now. And I think I'm excited because this might be one of the, this is going to be probably the best football game outside of North America that I've ever seen. I think both teams have absolute studs all across the board. I love watching Jalen Henderson play, the X1 Super Rookie of the Year award winner. I think it gives Panasonic a really good weapon throwing and running the ball. My man hit a spin move against Obik, and I had to message him. I was like, hey, bro, come on, chill with that. You're making us pocket passers look bad. Can't making it harder for us to get contracts with you doing spin moves and then throwing the ball 50 yards down the field. But and then, like, just watching Trayshawn from Fujitsu run the football, you know, how powerful that offense is when he's, you know, doing well. For me, it's so hard to say who's going to win, but just from how much offensive firepower that Panasonic has, I think Jay is going to be the difference maker. And I have it actually being like a 24-21 game for Panasonic. That's kind of where I'm leaning, but I hope none of my Fujitsu guys take that in any sort of disrespect, like, because I could very much be wrong, man. I have to just lean towards who has a little more offensive firepower, but I think both teams are just fantastic. It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched, I don't know how much I've watched of them and just kind of breaking everything down and just watching. It is hard, right? And it's funny that you have like a 3-point difference, because that's kind of how I'm looking at it. It's going to be 3-1-7-1 possession game. It's going to be, right? And like how we talked about earlier with you, right? Like, especially with 12 minutes and things like that, like, it's going to come down to time. I mean, you go back, right? You watch Fujitsu against Elecom, and, you know, they pretty much had their way with Elecom, right? They threw it deep when they wanted to. They ran it when they needed, like, they wanted to. And it really was kind of just like, you know, and even in, like, the Silver Star game, like, pretty much Fujitsu's playoff run so far, they've pretty much just, you know, they ran through Silver Star and they ran through Elecom. They probably didn't like how they finished against Elecom, I would say that. But I think what Fujitsu did smart was they got out of there quick, right? They got all their guys. I think pretty much everybody was done by halftime. I think.
Yeah.
I want to say all their main studs and things like that were out by halftime. Even their O-linemen, they were pulling at halftime. You know, the Obik game, the Panasonic Obik game, it was close there for a bit, right? And then Jay for Obik, the quarterback for Obik, he got hurt. And then kind of how I saw it going, right? Panasonic kind of pulled away, took advantage of, right? Like you said, turnovers and things like that. And even then, I think they got their first interception, but even Obik was able to hold them just to 3 instead of giving up a touchdown when they only had to go maybe about 30 yards. You know, it'll be interesting, because Panasonic's always kind of been, you know, for as long as I've been, outside of 1 year, they've kind of always been the kid who couldn't get it done. They can always get there, you know, and they just haven't been able to get the job done. And, you know, you look at how much, right, you say how much weapons they have and things like that. And that's been them for years, not just this year. Like, they've always had kind of, they kind of used the loophole and stuff like that, which is fine. You know, if you can find guys who can not count towards your American player count, then by all means, you know, it's all within the rules, so let it all go. You know, the fact that they haven't been able to beat Fujitsu yet is kind of, I think, where can they get over that, overcome that coming into this game. They seem to have a lot of the confidence, right? They kind of, you know, Obik lost their quarterback, but they kind of beat them handily. But then again, like, when I was watching, the game was out of hand already, yet they still had their starters in.
Yeah.
You know, Jabori got a tip and a pick six late, like very late in a game.
Yeah.
Where, by all means, it was a great play by him. Just coming from a standpoint, was the game was done at that point. The game was like, I think, I want to say three possessions. I think they were up by like 17 points at that point. At that point, just get your guys out, get home healthy and things like that. So, you know, that was the only thing for me throughout the year, right? Panasonic, they would have their starters in when they were up by like 40, 50 points. So, you know, guys might be a little bit more dinged up. Who knows? I don't know, right? But this game, man, I don't know. I honestly don't know. It'll honestly be
whoever. You got to do a prediction. You have to, though.
I do.
You have to. But listen, I didn't want to either.
No, I did not want to. I'm looking at it in the sense, though, of how much points are going to be scored. That's where I'm kind of struggling. Oh, man, because it could – because
right, you said it could be like a 10-7.
Yeah,
or it could be a 28-24 type thing.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it is such a – because both teams have great defenses.
Yeah, phenomenal defenses.
So, but I'm going to say – you know what? I'm going to say 27-24 Fujitsu.
Okay.
I just think – like I said, like I talked earlier, right? Like Fujitsu, it's their home stadium. And for them, you know, I think they kind of look at it as like, yeah, like, I mean, right, there probably is all the chatter, right? Panasonic has a quarterback. They have these receivers. They have all these running backs, you know, where they're, in a sense, it's almost kind of like Fujitsu is the returning champs, yet they're kind of the underdogs. And I think they thrive in that position.
You know, are they considered the underdogs though? Because I consider Impulse the underdogs.
Kind of everything that I've outside of, you know, you might not think, like from what I've kind of gathered and I kind of peep what's being talked about, it is that they kind of are.
Yeah.
You know, because of all the in a sense, right? Because of all the foreigners that Panasonic has, I think that's kind of what everyone's giving the advantage to Panasonic. But the last two times they've met, Panasonic's had that edge with the foreign players. Yet, Fujitsu's been the one that's gotten away with, you know.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, this year, right? Jalen might be a difference maker. You know, their quarterback, Panasonic's quarterback over the last couple of years. You know, he was never a runner. So I remember us preparing for him. We were like, if he scrambles, go ahead. Like, I'm not worried about this dude scrambling because, you know, his 40 was probably all of like 5'3". So I was never like, he was never going to burn us. Like, well, he was never going to burn us. You know what I mean? And that was never part of his game. Like, he was never like, even when I would see on film, like he'd have open field for like 10 yards, you know, he'd sit and sit and sit. And, you know, he was never, okay, I got nothing. Let me take off. So that was never like our thing. Like, we got to contain this guy.
Yeah.
Where Jalen, you might, and he's not a run first guy either.
No, absolutely not. He is a passer that has a great running ability.
Yeah, he's a passer who, when the time might need to be, he'll run. So you know, it'll all be, and you know, Fujitsu just played against Elecom, who their guy, he's kind of, I think he wants to pass, but I think he also wants to showcase his legs.
Yeah.
So Pendel is going to try and take off every now and then, and they had quarterback design runs and things like that. So I think kind of Fujitsu going against them might have been also good preparation for Jalen.
For sure.
Like, Jalen's a great runner, but Pendel's a lot shiftier and quicker. So, yeah, and I mean, it's going to be a tough one. But, yeah, I say 27-24 Fujitsu.
Yeah. I'm going to go the other way, but with the same score, but just with Panasonic. But it's so close. I mean, you know, wouldn't surprise me. Last time I made a prediction in a championship game was last month when I was co-hosting a Canadian football podcast show, and I predicted the Blue Bombers to blow out the Argonauts.
Oh, yeah, so, that went bad for you.
It went very bad for me. So now I'm just going to, you know, kind of to dovetail on what you guys talked about. I mean, yeah, it's going to be close. But at the same time, I'm like looking at it going, you know what, at least it's always nice to not really know, because that way when you sit down in front of the TV, it's like, it's going to be a good game.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good game.
I'm very interested to see what the OCs do, the offensive coordinators on both sides.
Yeah.
Because both sides can run the ball very well, and they can pass the ball very well, and they all have deep threats.
I think Impulse is going to come out aggressive.
Yeah, they always do, but then
throwing aggressive. I'm talking
chucking the ball.
Yeah. I'm talking I have a feeling they're just going to come out and just start slinging that rock.
Uh-huh.
I bet the first three plays are pass plays.
Write that down.
But Panasonic can run the ball as well. Fujitsu can run the ball as well. So I'm very interested. Like you said, it could be 7-10. And like I said, 12-minute quarters, right? That's kind of got to play into the OC's mind. Like, you know, hey, they got weapons. Let's play keep away.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, and on the flip side, they could do the same thing. Like, they got weapons, so let's play keep away. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think why I mainly said 24-21 was because I feel like both teams will probably get, you know, one or two
turnovers.
That, but also like one to two big plays where they catch the defense sleeping in a certain spot. And they'll get like a nice 60-yard touchdown pass or a big 40-yard touchdown or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I think the rest of the game will be pretty, like you said, kind of a just keep away game.
Battling, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Battling, punting, field position, all that stuff.
For me as a defense, as long as you can win within the 30s is where I, like, for me is the most important area.
Yeah.
So if you can always kind of win within there, then for the most part, right? You know, you're only allowing them to get to the 30, then they got to kick field goals. Or if their field goal kicker is not that good, then, you know, they're going to punt it and things like that. So that's where probably the biggest battles are going to be within the 30s.
I want to clarify one more time, just so my Fujitsu guys heard me again. I'm not betting against you guys. I could very much be wrong. This is a tough game for me to pick, man. I just got to go with Jalen.
Next year, when Fujitsu and Dentsu play, hit me as hard as you can.
No, it's not like that. I don't know who's gonna win, to be honest with you. I really don't. I'm just, if I have to pick, I'm gonna pick by a field goal the team that's got the more utility quarterback, the guy that can do multiple different things.
You know, it's funny and you say that, right? The Japanese quarterback on the other side has always been betted against. Everybody always bets against
him. Oh, no, dude.
No.
He's a dog. He is a dog. I think he's an animal. I love watching him play too, but I think Jalen has more tools. And if I have to pick a team, I think just that's the team.
I completely understand what you're saying. Yeah, but, you know, it's always kind of funny how that works out. But, like you said, I didn't even come up with a pick until now. And I didn't even, like, you know, it's still, even now, I'm kind of like, 27, 24, that might be too much or that might be too little. Like, but I hope it's a good game, though, because I want to see a good game.
Yeah, I think not.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody can get out healthy because – The Dream Bowl's in 3 weeks.
Right. Most of those guys are playing 3 weeks later.
I need everybody so we can spank these Ivy League kids.
Yeah. What's the scouting report looking like on the Ivy League?
I have no idea. Honestly, like, not in a disrespectful way, I don't think you really can scout. You know,
opinion,
it's
an
all-star game. You know, I'm not going to, like, because the OC might be from so-and-so college.
Right.
And their quarterback could be from a whole nother college, where their running back could be from a – so it's hard to kind of scout in that sense. And so kind of like the guys I've talked to that are going to be a part of that team. I mean, the final roster isn't set yet. I mean, I've kind of talked to a lot of guys and I've been like, look, like, don't worry about them because whatever – like, we're not going to be able to prepare for them.
Right.
Like we would, like, if we were playing a normal game. Like, we just got to go out there and just – play our assignments, read our keys.
Right. Well, that's why I was going to say you guys don't know who's starting for them or who's playing in the game yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, but the Dream Bowl, we'll start practicing next week, Saturday.
Okay.
So all these guys that'll play in the Rice Bowl, I think they'll have like 4 days off, and then like we got three practices in a row.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I know this isn't probably your lane or anything, but how can people see the Dream Bowl if they can't go to the stadium? Have you heard?
So I think it's on, unless I don't think there'll be like a broadcast where you could like pay for it on the internet. I know it's going to be, what is it? Asahi Televi, like a G+. It'll be on like satellite TV here, kind of how like the Koshien ones.
That's crazy. But they're playing an American team. It's got to be streamed somewhere.
Yeah, but don't quote me on that. The last thing I've seen, just because here's why I probably don't know. My parents are coming.
Yeah.
So like my family's coming. Obviously, I have a lot of family in Hawaii that I would probably need to get that info to. So, but right now, I think there is only on a broadcasting, and I don't know if you could actually like pay for the.
Is it on BS1 or something like that? Because I know the Rice Bowl's on BS1, right?
Yeah. So the Rice Bowl's on BS1. I want to say like the Dream Bowl was like, it's on like Asahi TV.
Okay.
One of their like little things, but if I can find it, you know, we'll get that information.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't, because it's one of those little things. Like here, just for instance, at my house, when we got set up here, we were kicking around, are we going to get satellite or not? And I'm like, okay, well, the Rice Bowl is on BS1. Yeah, but I can't justify laying out a grand for dealing with the antenna and everything for one game. And then I'm like, hey, wait a minute. My in-laws have BS, a satellite. Yeah. We're watching the game this is going to be one of those good little bonding experiences with my in-laws, because my mother-in-law watched the Koshien Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And then she's texting me during the game. She's like, I don't quite understand stuff. I go, well, at least you're watching. That's the key. You're watching the game. So.
But I mean, I can go find that info. I mean, we've been trying to do, I just did a interview for Playing with Sushi with Gino.
Okay.
To help promote the game. And kind of get more information out about it. So, Aaron, unfortunately, your episode is going to have to wait.
That's all. No worries.
It's up there. We have it all pretty much set. I think we just got to clean some stuff up. But just with the timeline, right? Like, we want to put that one out before the Dream Bowl gets played. And then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I kind of figured that with you getting, with you guys, and talking, because we were just talking about it last week of like who should be the next player, and it was like the timing of it was like you guys had just won, and I was like, well, let's do Aaron. I was like Bensu just won it, like they're going up into the super, like there's kind of like the buzz with like Densu had the buzz, so let's put that out there. But I think we're planning to like run the series like all the way until like March or April.
Okay. Got you. Just well, so like, it'd be good for them to be pumping out content in the off season.
Yeah, so that's I think why. Yeah, and then another thing is it takes a lot to just get the show out.
Yeah, because
there's a lot of
the production, like,
production, and it's like, well, the post production, the team is really good at that. They're very quick with it, but it's like going to this person and getting it cleared. Like, was everything talked about?
Okay,
going to. Like for Aaron's one, we're going to have to send a copy to Densu and be like, hey, is everything you talked about okay?
Right. It's not like this little podcast where after we record, I literally within 10 minutes slap everything together and push.
Send it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a lot of where, because a lot of people are like, oh, when's the next episode? And I'm like, when it comes out, it comes out. Like, honestly, like we have very little control. Like we have to go through all these different checks and things, and if I had it my way, I would just send it because we don't talk about anything crazy, but a few of the episodes have been edited, which is probably actually hard to tell, right? You guys probably haven't even picked up on some stuff that I think Ian's one, there was like 5 minutes that got cut out.
Really?
Yeah,
that was probably the best stuff too.
Well, it wasn't. And it was weird that it got cut out, because it was literally about us talking. It was us talking about like the change of sponsorship and then like them because so Deers, right, they're sponsored by a city now, like the city of Tainan.
Right. Not by
and the... I was kind of like, you guys are like the first to be sponsored by a city, right? Mm-hmm. So now in a sense, it's kind of like the states, right? Like, you know, San Francisco 49ers, the LA yeah. Rams, LA Chargers. You know, I don't want to bring up the Broncos because they suck right now, but you know, just kind of in that sense, right? Like they're the first one where they're like no company name, you know, and I was kind of right. like talking about, but that all got cut out.
Hmm.
And I was kind of like, why?
Yeah.
You know, like we're promoting,
right.
You know, and it's just even, we're kind of talking about like just the change and the challenges that the players and the coaching staffs have had to go through. And yet they still got back to the super. So, yeah. And like, I don't know, I guess, I don't know. Some people are sensitive about it. I guess.
Somebody got a little worked up about it. Going, yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But yeah, no, you couldn't even tell.
Me and Aaron trashed the whole league in his one. Me and Aaron just trashed the entire league in his interview. So. Not so.
look at Aaron's face going, what? Jordan.
Aaron's one was really good because Jordan. I liked it because it was another, because Aaron was one of the few guys, right, that came on and we got to talk about kind of comparing the European play compared to the Japan play. And then I jumped on my soapbox and said, anybody in Europe, you let me know the time and place and we'll be there to kick your ass. That came from my mouth. Don't worry, Aaron. It came from me. I'm not afraid.
Well, and it goes to, you know, I mean, we're completely off topic here, but talking about Aaron playing in Europe, you know, you got the elf. What the hell is going on with the elf? Are they, I saw a franchise that was going to play, is not going to play. What's the word over there?
They folded. But they had a lot of internal issues. I mean, they were only getting like 100 people to games to watch.
Right.
Mm.
Is it a house of cards with that league right now, or what do you think?
I mean, I'm
with certain teams. I feel like it is.
Yeah. I'm hoping for the best because I mean, the European players deserve to have that league for themselves because you know, it really is a cool thing to be able to play on like a European type league. Yeah. Where players are getting paid and, you know, everything's kind of going that way. I just, I don't know, man. I don't have a lot of the financial understanding of it, but I hope that's just a one team thing and every other team's doing okay right now. I know that they were funded for like 3 years until to prove that they could be profitable.
Okay.
So,
well, they got my money. Cause they paid for the TV. I got, you know, the only thing that I'm not seeing, if they would like license stuff and sell it, I'd probably buy that stuff too. That's just how I am. So merchandising, I think, is the key to survival of any league, which I wish the X League would do more of it. But then again, my wife would not be happy. I don't know. I'm still waiting for all my football stuff to come by boat. That's going to
buy an Aaron. You could buy an Aaron Ellis jersey in a few years.
That'd be so cool.
There we go. And get an autographed. I still need to get myself an, well, from both of you guys, autographed mini helmets.
Oh, yeah.
I'll send you a Tokyo one.
There you go. There you go. That works.
They got them. I think they have them somewhere. They have a bunch of, Tokyo has a lot of merchandise.
Really?
Yeah. The school actually, the football program actually has a good amount of merchandise. A lot of colleges do. So that's why when you were there at the Koshien, I'm sure there was somewhere where you could have.
I'm sure, but I saw
nothing or something. Yeah.
It was weird because I saw nothing, and then there was that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of because we were sitting. Did you
do like a 360 around the stadium?
No, I didn't get a chance to walk.
If you had, I guarantee you would have ran into a few booths.
Yeah, I.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you probably got there and was like, yep, let's go.
Yeah, we were really, I mean, we had great parking too over by the mall too. So, I mean, we had sweet parking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it all just timed out perfect. But when I got there, you know, sitting there just looking in the stands, it was very old school. It was like there was nobody wearing it wasn't like a sea of official licensed merchandise. It was just normal people like,
yeah,
you know, it was very much, you know, when you watch old NFL films.
I'm sure the outfields, right, had like the colors and the
yeah
because usually the outfield is where, like, what do you call that? Like the alumni,
right?
And all the parents sit. So
yeah, no, it was a good crowd. I mean, it wasn't as big as, like, I think last year's, but still for
it's I don't know. I think they got to move the coach in too as well. I think they got to kind of move it around.
That would be maybe a year.
Year in Tokyo, year in Osaka. But then again, it wouldn't be able to be called the Koshien Bowl anymore, right?
True. Well, they could. Well, they could. But I mean, like in the States, you know, they move the Cotton Bowl out of the Cotton Bowl and they still call it the Cotton Bowl. But
yeah.
No, I mean, they got the Osaka Dome, which be, you know, I know it's a baseball park, but, you know, be a lot warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, hey, everybody, on that note here, we will end this episode of Gridiron Japan. And gentlemen, I will see you on the other side of this. Real quickly, before I let everybody go, hey, Aaron, where can everybody find you on social media?
Twitter, QAAE14, and Instagram, ALS_15.
And BJ?
So, yeah, my Twitter, you can find me at BJBD59. And my Instagram, you can also find me at BJ_BD23.
And for anybody who's got any complaints, you can message me direct at CFL America on Twitter. And our podcast Twitter account is at Gridiron Japan. And you can listen to us on Spotify or any other. Spotify, you can find us on Spotify. You can find us at www.gridironjapanradio.net. And then we've also got a channel where a YouTube channel that you can find at gridironjapantv.net too. So with all that said, on behalf of myself, BJ and Aaron, thanks for listening.
This is George Connor of the Chicago Bears. Bear down, Chicago Bears.